The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Lift your hands and just bless His name this evening. Lift your hands and bless His name. He is the Most High God. Bless His name, I mean it. Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. Let's have our seat. Just say something nice to someone before you grab your, before you have your seat. Make someone comfortable around you. Hallelujah. Blessed be God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So we see what we can do today. We trust you, Father, this evening for revelation, for clarity, for understanding, that your word will come mightily to change us, to transform us, that we will not remain the same. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Are you ready? The anointing of the Holy Ghost. Do you love the anointing? Glory to God. See, a lot of things have been said, and today again, we'll see how far we can still go on this journey. God's word changes people. And the word of God is changing us. And you know, sometimes you may not know how far you have been changed by the word just by being exposed to it every day. Just by being exposed to God every day, you can be changed tremendously. You don't even know how far. Until a situation will come, and you will see how far you've changed. You might not know how far the God has changed you, maybe in the area of faith, until there is a challenge tomorrow, until there is a need tomorrow, and you find yourself exercising a very crazy kind of faith. That's when it would occur to you that God has actually changed you totally. And so this evening is another opportunity to be changed by God's word. Never take for granted any opportunity to listen to the word of God. Never take it for granted. Because you may not know how much God's word is changing you. Just like I tell you, in the physical, you will not feel, because some people wonder, why do we come to church all the time? When you are eating good food, you may not feel yourself growing literally. You might not feel your bones stretching, or you know, but the point is you are being changed, you are growing. It's not one day that you just want to pass somewhere that maybe you used to pass, and you just find out that your height, you've actually gone past. I get what I'm talking about. You might not know. And so you must just give yourself to the word. You are being changed. You might not know you are being changed until a situation arises. Just like if you are getting fat, you might not actually know if you are eating well and getting fat, you are getting fat until one day you get clothes to wear. You get the point? My father, these clothes can no longer size you. Some adding has been taking place. I get what I'm talking about. In fact, most of the time, you don't even know you are adding until someone sees you has not seen you for some time. Have you observed? The person says, you are adding, no? You say, for where? No, I just as I did. But you are actually adding. Most times when you are growing spiritually, it is the people who interact with you that can tell. I get what I'm saying. Sometimes you say, all these churches I'm going to, what am I getting? It is when people interact with you. they will begin to see that, is it you talking like this? Are you the one now acting like this? What is happening that you are growing? And so every time you have an opportunity to sit around God's word, you must open your heart to it. Are you following me? It's changing you. It's changing you. If you hear God's word 100 times, God's word will change you 100 times. Just like if you eat, once you eat and digestion takes place, something is added to your body. At every time. It is not possible to sit under the influence of God's word and not be changed by it. Just that the change, you might not be seeing it yet, but something is being affected on your inside. That's the whole idea behind, for instance, the School of Healing and Answers that we are starting. Because people are going to come in, somebody may attend the first day and be like, when I went, I was having headache. By the time I was living there, not only headache, my back was now aching. Something added. So, am I sure I didn't go there to waste my time? Every time you sit on the influence of God's word, something is added to your life. Something is added. You may not see it immediately, but eventually it will show. And so, never feel that you come to church to waste your time. I don't know why I'm starting with this. Whenever I talk like this, I just know that God has inspired my heart to talk to someone already. Never feel you are coming to church just to waste your time. Every time you settle into God's house and you are sitting under the influence of God's word, something is adding. It's now when people interact with you, they find out that something is different about you. Or when a situation arises, you that would have flared up and beaten everybody up, suddenly you are no longer like that. You that would have said, if I forgive this guy, let me die. You are no more like that. Are you following me? You that possibly would have been afraid. Initially, when you get a bad news from home, that as I'm talking to you now, your mother, the health is bad. The normal you would have started fidgeting, you know, shaking. But you now find out you got that news and you found peace. You found calmness. What has happened? Your faith life, you've grown. Are you following what I'm talking about? But my point is, when the growth is taking place, you will not know. You just have to be listening to God's word. I get what I'm saying. So God's word is changing us. And it's always a privilege. To sit under God's word. I say this all the time, and I'll keep saying it. Anybody that has become impossible for the family, that has become irreparable for the family, that has gone beyond redemption, and they give me that person. And all I have to do is to carry the person to church on Sunday, carry him to church on Thursday, and put him on some regimen of God's word that he has to listen to it, some doses of God's word he has to listen to every day. In 3 months, anybody will change. Anybody. Anybody. No matter how bad the person is. Anybody. That same way, anybody that has a problem, maybe you are very poor, and I sit you under God's word, I don't need to be teaching you prosperity. You just need to sit under the influence of God's word for long. Your life will begin to adjust. Are you following me? So God's word has that power. It can change anybody. That same way, if anybody is sick, and we sit the person under the influence of God's word, he will change. He will be healed. In Acts chapter 14, verse 7, I'm not yet going to my notes. Acts 14, verse 7, the Bible says that at Lystra, Paul preached the gospel. He preached the gospel. And I always like saying that they preached the gospel. That means they were preaching the good news of Christ. They were not preaching healing. But right there, sitting there in verse 8, was a certain man who was impotent in his feet, who was crippled, who had never walked. And when he heard Paul preaching, faith jumped into him to be healed. Now, Paul wasn't preaching about healing or miracles. Now, I don't know if that was the first day that man ever heard Paul, but possibly not. He must have been coming there, hearing him every day. And one day, and the first day he would have come, they would have said he wasted his time. But if once he kept going there, something was rising in him. Until one day Paul saw him and saw that this one has faith to be healed. You cannot sit on the face of God's word and not be changed by it. So never in your life, Don't think that you come just to waste your time. If you know what is going on, what is happening to you, every time you sit down in church, you will look for the next time church will open. Those people don't know these things. When they say, you are going to church, you say, I wish, you know, I don't want to go anywhere today. And they are calling you to convince you, why are you not coming? If you know what happens inside of you, I get to the point. And the problem is that if you are not taking in the word of God, you will be retrogressing. The thing again is that you will not know. Just like if someone does not eat and is slimming down, he will not know he's slimming down. What will show him that he's slimming down? Two things. The same thing that showed him that he was adding. First, a circumstance may come. He might now pick up a clothes he used to wear normally and everything is going freeway. So the person may just relate to the spiritual. He might see a situation that came to him last year and he just rode over it. He comes this year, he's fidgeting. I get what I'm talking about. Because if you're not growing, you will not know you're not growing. Until something happens. You that normally they talk to you, you just I'm forgiving you. This time, that same thing, or something smaller than that happens. You see, if I forgive you, let me die. Something is showing. You've not been growing. Because when people are not growing, they don't know. Just like somebody slimming down, he doesn't know. The second thing that will not tell you that you're slimming down is when people see you. Ah, are you fine? Are you eating? You've been slimming down. The same thing, the supernatural. When you now interact with people, they be like, ah, something is off about this. The once joyful, jovial person, I can't find the person again. There's just something is different about you. And so whether you are growing or you are reducing, you may not know. The only thing that the only reason why you know you are growing, how can I tell if I'm growing? I can tell you the simple thing to do. Once you are doing the things that will bring growth, relax, you are growing. Just like in the natural, once you are feeding well, you are resting well. I get what I'm talking about. You can be sure that you are getting better, you're growing. So once you are exposed to the word of God, growth is happening. The day you find out you are growing is when something has happened. And you just take action and say, ah, is this me? Are you following me? That's why the word of God is that powerful. It is that powerful. It can change anybody. It can change anybody. So you must never get tired of sitting down in church. Never get tired of sitting under God's word. Never get tired of learning. Never. Never get tired of learning from God. Never make the sacrifice to be in church. Make the sacrifice to hear God's word. Make the sacrifice to grow spiritually. Make the sacrifice to be fed. Make the sacrifice. Because something is adding. And let me say one last thing before I get into my notes. We might not look at our lives now and see ourselves growing like practically. But I tell you, in 5-10 years' time, it will show who has been investing in his life spiritually and who is not. It will show. I get the point. It will show. Because the thing about it is, whether you are growing or not, challenges will come to everybody. The Bible said the man that built his house on the rock, the storm came. The one that built his house on soil or sand, the storm also came. The difference will now be how you were able to handle the storm. It will not show whether you are growing or not. So whether you are growing, I'm teaching about the anointing now, for instance. I started by talking about the anointing within the believer. How to grow yourself with that anointing. How to be fervent. How all of that. You know, if you obey what I said or not, time is going to come and it will show whether you obeyed it. Think of marriage, for instance. We are teaching how to be led by the Spirit. Now, you might choose to obey, you might choose not to obey. But you see, whether you obey or not, one day you need to get married. You need to make decisions in your life. And to begin to show whether you obeyed how to live by the Spirit or not. I get the point. Whether, as a student now, we are teaching how to follow divine leading. Whether you obey or not, it doesn't change the fact that when you finish school, you'll be faced with a problem. Where am I going to reside? Are you what I'm talking about? And whether you obeyed or not.
It doesn't mean that you know, whether you say, I'm not going to obey, there will still come a time where you need to choose who to marry. There will come a time where you have to make some difficult decisions. Because life comes to test everything you said you've learned. Life comes to test it. Everything. Are you getting the point? I'm teaching, for instance, how to overcome depression, stay full of joy, and all of that. Now, whether you obey it or not, is fine. But the sort of matter is whether you obey it or you don't obey it, depressing moments must come around everybody. Are you not aware? Huh? It's not a God forbid thing. Depressing moments will come around everybody at different times in their life. I get the point. So have you ever had depressing moments? A lot in my life. The first time I ever thought of, maybe the time I can remember. Some of you, I'm saying, because some of you can relate. When you finish SS3 like this, and you don't get an admission. When you wake up in the morning, everybody carries their bag and leaves the house. And they will send you a message. Because, come on, you're the jobless one. Just look around, look everywhere. And the cycle will continue daily. As long as if you stay at home before you get admission, you understand what I'm saying. If you never stay at home before you get admission, you will not understand. Because for you people, I was there. I would just stay. And I even like staying alone. You actually don't like staying alone. By the time everybody just gets up and leaves the house, mommy goes to work, daddy, that one, children, everybody else, even your younger ones, they've gone to school. You now sit around the house doing nothing. That's when you know you don't like movies. And God punish you, never will take light. Very boring. And that time we didn't have all these Android phones that you had now. Now, my point is, times like that will come for everybody. Now, this one is not even a serious matter. Admission, what's that one? Life is coming. Are you getting the point? Where you will need finances, and it is not coming, that's forthcoming at the moment. That's what will show whether you are actually learning how to practice joy. Now, no matter the amount of, God forbid, you say to this, and I'm saying now, depressing times will come to everybody at one time or the other. I get to the point. Because even the wise people tell us that the rich also cry. And that's not just a slogan. The rich cry too. Says, if I have money, nothing will happen. Something will happen. Those moments will come for all of us. What if you lose a loved one? Say, God forbid. I say, God forbid to you. God forbid with you too. But then the people in your life will not live forever. You know, right? So what happens? How will you survive that moment? That's when the teachings will show. Or when you are standing before a tempting offer. That's what will show whether you've learned how not to give room to the flesh. Because now we're teaching it, you don't want to learn it. Have you ever had any tempting offer in your life? Tempting compromise. As some of you don't know what tempting compromise is. Say, I was tempted. The man said, you give me 5,000. You've not seen tempting compromise. No. You've not seen temptation to compromise. Something you know that once you do, you are changed for life. That you and your family will never suffer again. That's when we will test what you're hearing. You just tell Father, excuse just this one. Because it will come to all of us at different times. Things that will be so tempting. So tempting. Amen. Imagine you're a pastor. Random example. Don't ask if it happened to me. Imagine you're a pastor. You're pastoring. You're leading a church. And then life is just so hard. And then some guys approach you. They've done this deal. And they just need to pass the money through a corporate account. So it will not be traced. And all you have to do is let 10 billion naira pass through your account and you have 20%. Or any, if you even want 3% or 30%, they will give you. Do you understand? And you just have to do it once in your life and you'll be fine. So 10 billion is, what if it's 100 billion passing through your account? And they say they just need, you take 30%, just let it, you know, then just let it pass. You withdraw it for them, you take your own, they take their own, everybody's fine. And nobody is going to know. Now that's when, whether you've been hearing God's word, all this thing, my life, my mind is stayed on God's word. That's when we know that our mind is stayed on God's word. Now I'm trying to say, God's word is changing us. But if you are not listening to it, you are retrogressing. Just that you will not know until the situation will come to reveal that you've not been growing. Are you what I'm talking about? Something is going to happen to show that you're not growing. And some of you should begin to run at some of your life. Some of you notice any small thing you flare up, every small thing you fight everybody, every small thing you attack people, is a sign that you're not growing. It means that it's something in your life, there's a process you're ignoring. Every small thing you go down, you're depressed. Every small thing, bah, you are depressed. Every small thing, every temptation, in the past 3 months, you cannot remember any temptation you've overcome. You fall for all. It means something is happening. You're not growing. At the end of every week, you're able to look back into the week and count victories over temptations that you had. But some people, everything, they fall for all. Every time your best message is you are righteous in Christ. We are forgiven. Every time, that's your best message. Why? Because as well as a reason to be forgiven. I'm not against the message. I'm just trying to say that. I wonder why that's always. Every time your best message is, and I love when Pastor teaches on forgiveness in Christ. Why? Every day. Amen. Because you cannot remember any victory over sin. All you are enjoying is that even if you sin, God has forgiven every day. When will you grow up? Now, is that true that when you say God has forgiven you, that is very correct. But then, that is not the complete message. He not only forgave you, he also empowered you with his life. That life will help you now to win over temptations. But that's not the one you like. The one you like is 1 John 2 verse 1. My little children, I ask you that you sin not. But if anybody, he said, but. It means we can't sin. I'm saying you should be growing. Say amen.
Amen.
Make sure you are growing. This day is 13 February. Before you know, we are at the end of February. What progress have you made? What progress have you made? And it's by coming around and sitting under God's word. Now let me say something. Why God's word doesn't work for many people. I don't even know why God is bringing all of this. But it just flew. Amen. One reason it doesn't work for many people is that they don't sit under it consistently. I've said this many times. Some people are complaining around me the other time. Sir, this lady has been around. Her life, she still has her bad character. And I asked them a question. I said, has that girl been around for 1 year, not missing any service consistently? It's always 1 month you work out, 2 months you come back and say, next month, you will never grow. God doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. Give me 1 year. Be around every Sunday, Thursday, Saturday if you're a worker. And every day I call meeting. Let me say you will not change. You will change. You will. But there are people that have never been around. They are around because you see them around, but they are not around. And I'm talking to you. Who always want us to call you to remind you that tomorrow is church? And sometimes you miss service. Sometimes you come. Sometimes you don't come. Sometimes that day was just my brain was turning. Imagine you have a pastor as serious as you. Think about that. Okay. As serious or as unserious as you. Imagine your pastor come to church the same way you come to church. With the same consistency. Would there still be a church? They say, that's why he's pastor. That's why you are a member. That's why you are a member. And you should be able to bring the same consistency. Because if the teacher is serious, the students must be serious too. That's how we can achieve success. If the students are serious and the teacher is not serious, that's the thing we see in most Nigerian universities. You go to school, you sit down from morning to night, the lecturer will not come. And thank God when you don't have that kind of system in church. I know they have it in some churches, but not here. Do you understand? Uh-huh. Then you must bring your own seriousness so that you can grow. I get the point. So that you can grow. I have routines in my life that I have not broken for the past 15 years. You should have such things. There is no week of my life that I have not, the past 15 years, I'm saying 15 to be fair, actually close to 20 years now, there's no week that I've not sat down in church for at least 2 times. Every week. But there are people that any small is what I traveled, you know, and I couldn't come back. I woke up and then my head was aching. I didn't have clothes to wear. I didn't have transport fare. How do you think you're going to grow like that? We started coming from where we didn't have transport fare to we not have transport fare. Until eventually we could afford cars. I get what I'm saying. We don't have transport fare. Trek with your 2 legs. Come out here and don't be late. Don't be late. Trek into church. When I ask why I'm going to church, say, do you have money? I don't have money. I just want to trek to church. Amen. What is happening to you? You are growing. And don't ever come to church every day when you are done. You are going home and say, what did carry me come here today? Every day you sit under church, under God's word, your life is changing. Your life is changing. Your life is changing. Your life is, something is going to happen that will reveal to you that you have been growing. Yeah, it's not even long. It won't be long. Something is going to happen. Some of you may happen tomorrow. Someone may just break your heart tomorrow. And you're not finding that you've been growing. Because you will not cry the way you cried the last time. Do you understand? Say amen. Amen. Just shows you are growing. Do you understand? You don't want to understand. Let me face here. Right. But because somebody just break your heart, it's a sign that you are growing. Now, if someone breaks your heart and it takes you 3 months to move on, you know the 3 months you are just sulking, don't talk to anybody, you're just on your own, you're just doing anyhow, say life is just mess, men are just come, life is just useless. It's okay. But the next time they break your heart, because they will break it again, because it took you that long to move on, meaning you've not learned your lesson. The next time they break the heart, it should be able to take you 1 month, then 3 weeks. You know, the way some of us have trained our heart, the way I'm married though, well, the way I train my heart and I've grown, I can move on from you in 2 days. And you are the one that will be asking, did you really love me? Yeah. In 2 days. He says, how do you do that? What's there? The comfort of the spirit. But really, the comfort of the spirit. Comfort of the spirit. But on a serious note now, imagine it takes your pastor 2 months to move on from things. And within that 2 months, he doesn't want to talk to anybody. He just wants to be on his own. He just wants to face his life. Imagine that. And then they now break his heart. And for the whole 2 months, he's not coming to church. Or when he comes, just ready to say, your women, scum. Ladies are scum. You know why I'm giving this illustration? Imagine you become a pastor tomorrow. And you are still like this. I say that, but nobody, I don't know, I'll be married, nobody will break my heart. Maybe nobody will break your heart. I'm talking about women now, or men. But what if you lose a business deal? I'm not just talking about relationship. What if you put money somewhere? God forbid. Put your like 15M somewhere that you've saving for long, and then something happens to it. How long will it take you to move on? Because I'm talking about developing a strong spirit now. Because I'm talking about relationship, you are laughing. What if it's money? Just walking to church and looking at everybody. If my message that day is offering, why people not giving? You know, you should be able to, but growth will help you see that when things happen, you are just able to shake it off and be solid. That people will be wondering, did something ever happen to you at all? Have you ever seen that kind of progress in your life, that you're becoming stronger? When things happen, they are expecting that you're going to go down and then cry forever. And the first 24 hours, you are feeling so down. The next day, you wake up and are wondering, why are you not the one that says it's me? But the Lord is able to give me much more. Your life is just better. Now, that is growth. And all of this will happen as you begin to expose yourself to God's word. To God's word. Are you following me? So God's word. You know, the trending issue in Nigeria now is about a Nigerian lecturer that was assaulted by his students and all of that. You know, when I tried following up on that issue a little, I found that the man is actually saved. Man is actually a believer, he's a minister in that school, working with a church, you know, in that school. And people have just been commending the guy. He was so calm in the face of the whole thing. Now, there are opportunities that will come up like that. If the guy is someone that has not worked on his temperament, nobody would have told him that that's the day the whole world of him as a human beater. Because he will beat up that girl. I don't get the point. My point is, when you are growing, opportunities to show that you are growing will come. Because that right there was an opportunity. And I don't know how he held himself. But self-control of the spirit. But when I saw that, I said, this guy must be born again. Until I see a pastor friend of mine begin to post that this is a member of their church, he's a minister, and I just say, okay, that's where it's coming from. Because it only takes something strong. So they didn't really beat him. Like already Tayaro like beat him. And now tore his clothes. Grow. Because if you've been pretending to be very demure, that's the day that your demurity or your demureness will show that you don't have nothing. So every time we are coming to God's house, just show up. Something is adding to your life. It's the day you will show it that you will know. The day something happens, you just say, I don't even know how I became this calm. God has worked on my life. And that will be your testimony. Because God is working in us. Are you ready today? The anointing of the Holy Ghost. You know, it's still the anointing working as I'm talking. Because one of the ways the anointing of a pastor works, I was talking about the anointing of a ministry last week. All the things that happens when a pastor is flowing his anointing is digressions by the Spirit. No ministry digresses like the pastor. The reason is because when people come into church, maybe your topic today is the anointing of the Holy Ghost. But there are different people that come to church that have different problems that have nothing to do with your topic. But God will want to use that 1 hour you have to preach to reach everybody at the point of their need. Are you what I'm talking about? So when a pastor stands in his office to preach, you will find many digressions because he has to meet many people. And it's not a digression of that looks like the prophetic. He will digress, still come back to what he was saying, and there's still order in the message. And so it's still the anointing at work. Hallelujah. So I'll show you that there's anointing for ministry. There's anointing for ministry. Simply because there is nothing that God will ask you to do that you can do by your own ability. Nothing like that. There is nothing God will ask you to do that you can do without his empowerment. Nothing. And I explained to you on Sunday that when we're talking about anointing for ministry, we are not talking about a different Holy Spirit. When we say things like that ministers are anointed differently, we are not saying that ministers have different Holy Spirits. It is still the same Holy Spirit that we all have. Every believer carries the same Spirit, the same Holy Ghost. However, apart from the general empowerment that the Holy Ghost gives every believer, apart from that one, the Holy Ghost will now empower different of us differently because of our different assignments. And I was showing that on Sunday. That if you are called to be an apostle, there will be an extra the Holy Ghost will give you, different from what he will give someone called to be an evangelist. And that's not because the Holy Ghost prefers you to that person or prefers that person to you. It's just because of your assignments. And so in working with God, We do not actually say that one person is better than the other. What we rather say is that one person is different from the other. So it's not about being better, it's about being different. I get the point. What I'm saying is, I carry the anointing of God upon my life that I carry, not because I'm better than you, but because I'm different from you. What is the difference? The difference is in our responsibilities. You know, in Romans 12 verse 3, Paul said, I say to the grace given unto me, to everyone that is among you, not to think of himself higher than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. He said we should not think of ourselves higher than we are supposed to think. Now, what was he talking about there? Verse 4. He said, because as we are many in one body, we don't have the same office. Listen, one major place believers differ one from another is in their offices. We do not differ in our nature. We differ in our office. It's one thing I'm talking about. We do not differ in our nature. We differ in our offices. We differ in our responsibilities. So God will grace all of us differently. Not because we all have a different nature from other people, but just because we all have different responsibilities, and because of our different responsibilities, we must all be empowered differently. Are you following what I'm saying? A perfect example is get to the farm. Okay, get to a farm, an office. Let me use office. Or let me use a very big company. A very big company. The manager may decide, for instance, that people in the marketing team will all be given a free vehicle. Do you understand? The manager may decide that the guy who is the secretary in the office for now may not need that vehicle. Not because the marketing team, the marketers are better than the secretary, but because the secretary does not need that particular car to carry out his assignment. The only reason why a secretary may need a car is for comfort. But the marketing team, they need that car because they have to go around, meet people and all of that. So it's not because one person is better than the other. It's just because one person has a different responsibility from other people. Just like in the farm. If we get to the farm and there are many divisions maybe in the farm, we all will work with different implements. Different implements. Depending on what has been given to our hands. One person may need a tractor. The other person may not need that. You get the point? So all that goes to show, right, that we are empowered and equipped differently. Not because anybody is better than any other person. Just because people are different from people. So I'm not the same with you. And you are not the same with me. One of the deceptions that a pastor can have is to think that because he's the leader of the church that he can do everything. That's deception. Because the fact that you're a pastor does not mean that you carry everybody's ability. Now, a pastor will attempt to do everything. But finally, if you see people who are graced to do that very thing he wants to do, you will see the difference. I get the point. A pastor can teach administration. But by the time he finally, God sends him a proper administrator, you will see the difference. I know a particular man of God, you know, after service last Sunday, I was discussing with people in my office. This man started his ministry, and I don't even know whether to call that he started a ministry. It was ministry. People were coming. When I mean people, I mean sometimes they would get to 200, 300. But he was also disorganized. He was also disorganized. You get to the place, they didn't have choir. They didn't have usher. In fact, the hall they were using, an unpainted hall, they didn't have even decoration on the wall. And he didn't mind. He would just come in and preach. After preaching, he will go. Next week, people will come again. And it was just happening. Until another guy was in another ministry, and the Lord told him to leave that ministry he was part of and all of that, and go and join this other man of God. So after they prayed and confirmed that the Lord has sent this other guy, the guy came in, and after some time, he put him in charge of administration. In less than 1 month, choir emerged. Ushers emerged. The ministry changed from there to another facility. From there to another facility. From there to their own building. Now, It wasn't about anointing. This guy was graced for that administration thing. I get the point. Now, that guy, I don't think he has a call maybe in the fivefold ministry. But he's a graced administrator. And every pastor should now know that you maximize that stuff. And so there are different offices. That's why there are different graces. It is not because there are different Holy Spirits or Holy Spirits, or maybe because there are different, we have different nature. That's not the reason. We are all the same in Christ Jesus. Amen. We are one in Christ, carrying the same Spirit, but that same Spirit that we carry will empower us differently because of our assignment. Not because He prefers one person to the other, but because He uses people differently. And that is up to Him. Are you following me? So I ended last week by showing you that one of the major ways to begin to operate in the anointing of God for your ministry, for your calling, is to find your place. To find your place. To find your place. Your journey into operating in the anointing of God for your ministry begins when you find what God has asked you to do. And it's not supposed to be something that should give you much headache. To find what God has asked you to do is not to go and, you know, because this is one mistake that I've made, and I was correcting that on Sunday. People just carry themselves and go to the mountain and start shouting, "Father, tell me, show me what you've asked me to do." Well, I find that sometimes we're just wasting our time. Sometimes. Now, have I done that? Yes, actually. Trying to ask, "What do you tell me to do?" Da, 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 and all of that. You know. Glory to God. But I can tell you, God showed me a few things about my future. But you see, what I'm doing now with God, this ministry, this church now, I didn't go to no mountain to hear from God. Regular prayer life, regular walk with God. I get the point. And the thing was just dropping gradually. Gradually. Regular walk with, I didn't have to go to any mountain to begin to see. Because sometimes people already have what they want, and they just go to the mountain to try to make God speak. It's a different thing that you went to the mountain. You've known what God is saying, but you go to the mountain, you go to pray to get clarity on it. Nothing is wrong with that. You get the point? But to say that your assignment today is to find out what you must do. There's nothing wrong with that, but I just hope you hear from God properly. And why I try to preach against this, there's nothing wrong with doing it. Just that sometimes people abandon what they're meant to do in their small space, and they're all over the place looking for what God has asked them to do. Whereas they could just be doing something where they are. My argument is, has always remained, that if God has called you, you don't need to remind Him to tell you that He has called you. Once you have a walk with Him, He will tell you. I don't think there's anybody that God has called that does not know. There are just people that God has called that are ignoring the call. But you know. And some of you are like that. There are some things God has asked you to do. You are just ignoring it. But it's there. I say it again. I don't think there's anybody that God has called that will say it's not aware. In fact, most people that go to the mountain to go and pray, it's because they know that God has called them. So they're trying to fight it or to accept it. Say amen, somebody. So the key thing is, if God wants you to do anything for Him in the fivefold ministry, have a solid walk with Him. He will show you. Fast. Pray. You know, in Acts 13, when, you know, that word came in verse 2, Zebedee unto me, Barnabas and Saul, it was just a regular prayer meeting. Bible says certain prophets and teachers in verse 1, they gathered. They just came to pray. And then the Lord said, so that was a routine that they would have had for long. The day God will confirm His call upon your life by just being a regular prayer drive that we always have. You just gather to pray. We just gather. It might just be your regular devotion. And He will begin to speak to you. Are you what I'm talking about? You cannot possibly have a walk with God and God has an assignment for you and He will not tell you. I don't think so. If I walk with God, He's going to tell you. That's one way to know. But then, even before and even after God has told you whatever, when you get into a local church and God plants you in a local church and you are given a responsibility there, that is your place. If you fit into that place and begin to serve, the anointing of God upon your life will begin to get expression. We saw that example a lot on Sunday. out that Stephen and Philip and the rest of them were just regular guys who were in church. Until a need arose that they wanted to share food. So they picked 7 of them. And from there, those guys grew to become mighty before the Lord. In Acts chapter 6 and verse 6, they laid hands on them. In Acts chapter 6 and verse 7, a great company of the priests became obedient to the faith. In Acts chapter 6 and verse 8, Stephen, a man full of faith and power. This guy was just anointed to share food. But then, because he stepped into his place in the church, the hand of God came mightily upon him. And the graces that were upon his life began to manifest. That's why there are some of you that you notice since you came into this church and began to serve. You begin to do some things you never knew you could do. You find yourself doing them. You begin to hear from God some more. You begin to lay hands on the sick. Because the more you settle into your place to serve, the greater the grace of God manifests. That is why, let me give an example. How many of us have ever gone for mission here? Any mission work? Just take out time, go for 3 weeks or so. The kind of miracles you guys see, you see in mission field, you don't see it even in a Sunday service. I can tell you. The reason is because you are on an assignment. You are on an assignment that your church or whatever you belong to have sent you at that time. Because you are there, you will see the graces upon your life that you never knew you had. Some of you that first raised the dead, you raised the dead in a mission field. Some of that first year, they are sick in a mission field. Because once you step into any assignments that God has given you, there is the grace of God made available in that place. Are you following what I'm talking about? So you want to see yourself operate in whatever God has asked you to do. Step into your place in the church. Tomorrow is evangelism. Be available for it. We want to go and win souls. Be available for it. Because that is when you find the grace of God upon your life again expression. I get the point. Once you step into your place in the local church, you are going to find the hand of God mighty upon your life. Those graces will be there, but will never manifest until you step into your place. When I mean your place, I mean until you step into your a place of service. There is nobody that sits down in his house Monday to Monday doing nothing that suddenly raises the dead. It doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. It is as you get on an assignment in the church, whatever you've been asked to do, that one day you're going to stumble on a dead person.
Yeah.
You get the point? You must find what God has asked to do. I tell you the truth, one of the major things that helped me grow massively and fast in particularly the graces upon my life was that from the time I got born again, the church I was in then was a very young church. There are some of you that are around this church now that we are not too many. We just roughly 200 and all of that. This is actually when you need to find your place, settle down. This is actually the easiest time for the hand of God to get a touch upon your life. Some of you that are leaders today wouldn't have been leaders if we had up to 10,000 people. I know what I'm talking about. Some of you singing in the choir today, they may not have put you in the choir if we had up to 1,000 people who are ready to sing. They may just do audition and say you should not join. Like what I'm saying? Or and it's just like that. People that are ushers today, you might not have been an usher if I have 100,000 people in this place. You might just be fighting, please now pick me. But the church I belong to, them when I got born again, we didn't have a lot of people there. To start with, we had one fellowship inside the church. The first time I came to the, I can tell you how disorganized the fellowship was. The first time I came, there were only 3 people, and I was the 4th person. And they saw me and said, we heard you went for mission and you came back. Preach to us. The first day I came, there was a small environment. I preached. After I preached, they said, want to start a prayer team? Lead the prayer team. The first day I came. I'm not joking. And all of those things came together because I began to serve in all those capacities. From there, I began to teach children church. I was in children church for years. My first experience of lay hands on people and they fall was in the children's church. Because I was doing Holy Ghost ministration with them. I was serving somewhere. So the graces upon my life was getting expression. You see what I'm saying now? If you find yourself any place to ask you to serve, I remember those days, I would go and carry gen, I would return the generator, all of that. All those experiences made room for the grace of God upon my life to gain expression. That's why what most churches do today is, as the church gets bigger and God permits them, they keep splitting up the church and creating new centers. One part of this why they're doing that is not just because they want to spread. That's one reason. But it's also giving younger people opportunity to allow their ministry to gain expression. Because if you remain in that crowd of over 10,000 people, you don't even... I get what I'm talking about. So if you have opportunity to serve in church, use it well. You are creating room for the hand of God upon your life to become more visible. I follow what I'm saying. And that's why if you are here, one of the greatest things you should want to do is that you serve. And when you ask to serve and they say you must finish your PGTI class, go through it and finish it. And get on a team and begin to serve. You are creating an opportunity for yourself to be used of God. And many things you never knew you could do, you will find yourself doing them. And what I'm talking about is even beyond the office where they've put you, even all they said you should do is to be snapping picture, media team, but you are serving. In the place of service, you know, there are graces there. Let me tell you why. God will have to grace you because you have an assignment to do. If you have nothing to do, why give you the anointing? Why? You have nothing doing. Evangelism, you will not come. But tonight, there's a healing anointing you want to release. You raise up your hand. What do you want? Bring down your hand. What do you want to do with it? So I pray now, healing anointing rests upon your hand. What will you do with it? Since you will not respond to evangelism, you will not go in it. So what are you going to do with the anointing? Let's talk. One-on-one, confide in me. What do you want to do with it? Just the fun of falling down and standing up. You see, hand of God touching. What's the point? Say to them, there is a special grace. I see the prophetic in the house. He said, you raise your hand. Now, after that, evangelism next Saturday, you won't come. So, what exactly why you raise your hand for? One day, all those invitations you are receiving will start by beginning to pursue you. Oh, invitation for healing is pursuing. Invitation for prophet, all of them are pursuing you because what are you doing with all of these things? They just pack it. They say, today, I see a teaching grace. They say, yes, yes, yes. And someone around you says, you know, I just don't understand all this Bible you're explaining. That's an opportunity right there. To say, oh, well, what verse is that? Let me show you. No. No. You don't do that. So what are you doing? You see, it's people that have stepped into the place of their service that will begin to find certain expressions of God. So let me say this to you. There are many people that I do bigger things than. But in reality, I'm not really better than them, even in anointings. Just that I'm serving, I'm doing something, and they are not. Think about it. You see, as I'm here now, why won't I heal the sick? Where there are over 100 people who are sick, who want me to pray for them? So God has to grace me to heal the sick, because I know what I'm talking about here. Well, even if I don't want it, God just has to put it. If not for me, for the faith of the people. So something is just going to happen. Why won't God give me revelation and then give me mighty utterance? Where there are a number of people who are waiting for me to teach them week in, week out. Because I'm available in the place of service. I get the point. It's easier for that grace of God upon your life to get an expression. So I want to, before I enter into today's teaching, I just have one question for you. What are you doing in the house of God? What are you doing in God's house? What are you doing in God's house? Have you found your place? Are you serving in your place? Well, that's where the journey starts from. What are you doing in God's house? Every time you see the Bible talk about the anointing upon people, you always see, He has anointed me. He has anointed me. There's always a reason for the anointing. God doesn't anoint for nothing. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. How God anointed of Nazareth, who went about doing good. So they don't anoint you and you sit down. The anointing is for you to be able to serve. So, anointing for ministry will only come on people who are doing ministry. That's what I'm trying to say. People who have found their place and are serving in their place,
be anointed for ministry. I'll say that again. Anointed for ministry can only come on people who are doing ministry. Because God will only anoint people who have found their place and are serving in their place. Because like I said last week, your grace is in your place. Your grace is in your place. Find your place and the grace of God upon your life will gain massive expression. Find and serve in your place. Are you getting the point? And that's what I'm going to pick up from today. How do I grow in the anointing of God for my life? As in for my ministry rather. What do I do to make sure that the anointing of God for my life for ministry, now I'm talking about the believer's anointing now, but for your assignment, if I find my plan I'm serving there, how do I make sure that anointing is on the increase? I mean, of course, in this context now, anointing does not increase, you know, right? It's how to make sure that you are the one growing. Let me explain that again. The anointing of God does not increase, but you can grow in the anointing. The anointing of God is the Holy Spirit. It is perfect, or He is perfect, but you can grow in the anointing. The Bible tells, we see the Bible talking about it. For instance, we're going to look at that today. In Luke 1 verse 80, He said that John the Baptist, that he waxed strong in spirit. He waxed strong in spirit. The spirit did not grow, but he himself waxed strong in the spirit. So you might not be able to, righteousness will not grow in you, but you can wax stronger in righteousness. The anointing of God will not multiply in you, but you can wax stronger in that anointing and flow in it better. Are you getting the point? So how do I grow myself in the anointing? I'll just start from one basic thing, which is very common. Have a strong devotion life. A strong life of devotion. I mean your daily devotion. Strong devotional life. Quiet time. Prayer, study. I've found out when your prayer life, your study life is solid, you have made room for the grace of God upon your life to get massive expression. You know, when I was studying ministry, I mean, when I wanted to start a church, my major concern was, how will I always know what to preach? I ever thought about that? How does pastor know what to preach all the time? Because I preach to the same audience Sunday, Monday. I even preached yesterday. I'm preaching today. Preach tomorrow. Preach Saturday. How do I know what to preach? Sometimes to the same people. And that was starting a church, it dawned on me that I was going to do this for the rest of my life. So I always need to have what to preach every day. And I was just praying and asking God, you need to help me. And I saw a book written by Bishop Dagwood Mills. And he was answering this same question. He said, if your quiet time is solid and you listen to tapes a lot, I read a lot of books, you can never run out of what to preach. Not because you'll be studying the Bible, you'll be doing quiet time to find out what to preach, but because when you have a solid quiet time, solid devotional life, you always have what to preach. And that's the same for every other grace of God. When you are solid with your quiet time, your devotion, the grace of God upon your life will be on the increase. You know why? You are spending time with the Holy Spirit. You are spending more time. Now, this particular verse I just read to you, Luke 1 verse 80. He said the child, that's talking about John the Baptist, grew and waxed strong in the spirit, and was in the will in the desert till the time was shown forth to Israel. So before John came out to begin to minister to people, John stayed in the desert for years. What was he doing in the desert? He was waxing strong in spirit. Yeah. So what was he doing? Pray. Look at the scriptures, Old Testament scriptures. Pray. And all of that. He was waxing strong in spirit. So before John began to shout, you brood of vipers, before he began to baptize people, he stayed for years in the desert, waxing strong in the spirit. What does that tell you? When you have a strong life of devotion with God, very solid one, the grace of God upon your life will gain massive expression. I found out that when you spend a lot of time with God and with the Holy Ghost, many things will become easier. You know why? That anointing that God has put upon your life can work freely, can work easily. Are you following me? And I've learned it. Before I have meetings, I pray. But you know, if I can be sleeping and you wake me up now to start teaching, I will start. And I will teach you
And you will not believe that I was sleeping before you came. Why? Now, I do not actually generate my strength from the prayers I pray before any meeting. I get the point. It has become a natural routine for me, for instance, to stay up all night. To stay up half of the night. All every day. And whether I just study, I just pray, whether there's a meeting, there's no meeting, all of that, I just spend time. And it helps. It makes room for the anointing of God upon your life to gain massive expression at every time. And I was telling you guys that even at immersion, I've had that experience a few times. Even at immersion, there was a time I walked into this hall during immersion without a note. I get what I'm saying? Now, that is preaching by prophecy or altar, but that wasn't the plan that day. I was teaching in series. Do you remember? What was I teaching on? By faith. And I had what I prepared for that day. And I came to this hall without a note. It wasn't deliberate. It just happened. I get the point. It was when we drove and got here, I found out that I didn't come in my note. So everybody in the car was like, Daddy, do we go home? I got and pick. I said, no, we don't have time again. No, but I'm just going to preach. I said, so what do we do? I said, just give me 5 minutes. You guys should just go. So in the 5 minutes, I went through my notes in my head, made my key points, came up the stage. When I went home, I told the guys, I didn't miss one scripture, one verse. I didn't mix up any points. Now, that's because, like I said, I didn't copy what I wanted to preach to you. It's my life. I study this thing. Now, we must have a consistent study life, consistent prayer life. A strong life of devotion makes for easy flow. What do you think was the base of the grace of God is upon Jesus? Mark 1:35. A great while before day, he will go out to go and pray. Mark 1:35. And we say all of this because you cannot actually stand strong in the grace of God for your life if you don't have a solid walk with God. By this, in this context, I mean solid devotion, solid prayer life. Solid study life. Every day. Read your Bible. Pray every day. As simple as that. Read your Bible. Pray every day. Are you following me? Great men are men of great routines. Yes. Let's tell us, not tell us one down. So we took us what say. When he wakes up every morning, he will do, is it a 14 minutes high speed dance in the Holy Ghost every morning when he wakes up. And then he will read his Bible, then he will pray every day till he died. That was his routine. Wake up, do something, just in the Holy Ghost, say 14 minutes. He didn't call it rejoicing. He said, I do high speed dance in the Holy Ghost. That's his routine. Every day. He'll do all of that and read his Bible and pray every day. That's the devotion of the man. That's the man's devotion. And you see the character of the anointing upon his life. He was at this heightened stage. If you don't know about spiritual gospel, go and read about him. The man raised 23 people from the dead in his lifetime. Go read about the man. He was such a man of faith. One of these months, you're going to read this book. So download it and keep it already. Ever increasing faith. Spiritual gospel, one of these days. Such grace. But then all of that is because of the routine as it around his life. That's the man that it was said, you know, I think it was somebody that said he visited him. Once you speak with him, just speak. He will just say, you know what? Let me just read this verse to you. And you guys might read the whole chapter. He will say, I read this chapter, you read this chapter. He will read it to you. Say, you read yours. And they will read and read and read. After, let them just pray. They will pray. After like 30 minutes, he said, let's continue. They will converse. He said, let's read again. Let's read some more. The man said, the first day he visited the man as a young boy. That's all they did throughout that day. Let's read some more. They read. Let us pray. Let's just read some more. You know, I was reading this. Let's read some more throughout the day. So after that day, he left. He said, if I come back here again. Well, then he went back again and again and again and again. And then you look at the quality of the life that Lester Sumrall became after. You know Lester Sumrall? Gonna read about him. Became such a man of the spirit too.
Because he lacked the devotion of those men. Are you following me? When you do not read your Bible, you don't pray every day, you are robbing yourself of being all that God wants you to be. Of being all that God wants you to be. What I'm showing you is one of the greatest secrets of growing yourself in any anointing that God has put upon your life. Solid prayer life, solid study life, solid devotion. Daily. John waxed strong in spirit and was in the wilderness until the day of his showing forth to Israel. Luke 1 verse 8. Until the day of his showing forth to Israel. He was just there. Waxed strong in spirit. Give another translation of this. Like NLT also. John grew up and became strong in the spirit. He lived in the wilderness until he began his public ministry unto Israel. He was just in the wilderness. Doing what? Waxing strong in the spirit. Becoming strong in the spirit. There was no message to go and, there was nobody to go and preach to. He was just feeding on his devotion. Reading his Bible. Praying. Amen. Reading his Bible, praying. Don't even let ministry steal your devotion line life from you. Don't even let me, as important as ministry is, don't let ministry steal your devotional life from you. Don't let ministry steal your quiet time from you. Not to talk of it, don't let nothing, busyness, don't let it steal your time with the Lord. Because every other thing will come second. That is the base for a mighty, mighty anointing. Look at Paul's life. We don't have all the truth about his life. Well, look at his writing. You will know that the man has something very solid around him. I cease not to make mention of you in my prayer every day. You're already seeing what the man, the character of his prayer life. The other time he said, I thank my God, 1 Corinthians 14, that I speak with tongues more than you all. And so, you must have that life of devotion. That's the first thing that will help you grow stronger in the anointing of God for your ministry. The second thing that will help you become stronger in the anointing of your ministry is more use. More use. The secret is, if you exercise yourself in the anointing so much, you will become better with it. For instance, you are anointed to be a teacher of the word. If you teach the word long enough, consistently, you will become a better teacher. Because what is happening is, the more you engage in the anointing is not increasing, but you are learning how to work with that anointing better. And that takes me back to the first point I started with, how that you must be serving in ministry. Because it is when you are serving a ministry that you have the opportunity to exercise yourself with that anointing again and again. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Are you following me? For instance, we have been anointed to prophesy. That's an anointing for the prophetic upon your life, for instance. If you do not go out and begin to engage it, if you don't go evangelism and then you speak what you hear to people, that anointing will not come to, you cannot reach its full capacity in your life. You can't. Much more use. I use as an example all the time. I'm a better teacher today than I was 5 years ago. One reason is because I've taught every week in the past 5 years. And even before I had an audience to preach to many years ago, I teach everybody around me. Some of the people there that grew up in Osaka, that went to science school and all of that, can tell you how that almost every week, almost every day, I'll be around, students will come around me, their students will come around me, and I'll just be talking. All those things, every opportunity I had to do that which God has asked me to do, I'll start doing it. It was an opportunity to grow myself in the anointing. So not only am I solving a need for people, I'm also helping myself. And that's why many of you, the healing anointing upon your life have not gained so much preeminence. In fact, many of you, the healing anointing upon your life
You are not having as much to just as you have. You are still where you were 5 years ago. You know why? You do not heal the sick every week. If you heal the sick every week, by now you have been a pro. You say, is there anything like pro in the anointing? There is pro in the anointing. There is pro in the anointing. I get the point. It is said that if you visit Dr. D.K. Olukoya, for instance, of Mountain of Fire, the guy is graced with all these deliverance, cast out of devils. You can just be, he is so professional that he can be gisting with you and conducting deliverance. I say, yes, it's time now. You can now go. And he's talking with you. I get what I'm saying. Doubt it, believe it. The man is anointed to do that thing. And by the time you get, if you've ever gone around the Mountain of Fire Church, the kind of testimonies you'll be hearing, you'll be wondering whether you are in Nigeria. Every story you hear in Nigerian film, it happens in that church. People can tell you, and that's also the working with the head. You see dangerous cases. There was a time I followed the colleague a little. Someone slept in the room and woke up outside. For like 2 nights. Demons carried him from his bed and brought him outside. Slept in the room in the night, woke up outside his compound in the morning. By the time it happened like 2 nights, he ran to church. But that is, you see, there are demonic cases. And you see those extreme demonic cases, they come around the man, Dr. Luke, and he's so relaxed. He said, yes, okay, oh, is that what happened? I know that demon. It's time to leave. Relaxed. The guy has mastered that flow. One of the ways he mastered it is consistency. The man has casted out devils almost every week of his life since he got born again. There's no service day. Demon does not fly out of people in that church. Every day. Should we start doing that? I'm just telling you a story. But any place you see a demon, cast him out. That's what you do. Any place. But by constant use, you can master certain things. How do you think some prophets that flow in word of knowledge, how are they able to even give you forensic details and say, this is your name, this is your age? Not all of them are fake. I know what I'm saying. Not every prophet calling people's name and phone number. None of them are fake. There are genuine prophets who flow in such things. But how did they master it to that level? Consistency. These are people that every time you give them chance to preach, they must say, there is somebody here. Even as they kept doing that. I get what I'm talking about. Every time they go to preach, to even evangelism, they must say, is there any case in your life? Like, do you know the point? They kept doing that until the flow was now at home with them. It's what flow I'm talking about. Was now at home with them. You think the way I minister healing today is the way I minister healing some years ago? No. It's just getting easier. It's just getting easier. And now, when the Lord gave me the responsibility of running School of Healing and Answers, I was so excited. Because it means not only that people are about to get help, the grace of my life is about to heighten to a level you've never seen it. Because I'll be ministering to the sick every week, chronic cases every week. Now, it's not just going to help you, it will help me. And every other person that works with me in that team. And that's why I want to say, whenever you are given a responsibility in God's house, please do it. That's not only an opportunity to help the church, it's also to help you, to grow you in the grace of God upon your life. Are you following me? Because I've used so much that I've mastered it. And I'm still mastering it. I'm still mastering it. Jesus mastered the anointing of God upon his life so much that when power leaves him, he knows. He said, who touched me? Because virtue has gone out of me. That's another level of mastery. Like when power moves from him, he knows. In other words, when you come around Jesus and healing anointing moves from him to touch you, he will know that. So he will feel it. I get to the point. There is constant use. And I'm challenging you. This year, exercise yourself in the anointing a lot. Whatever grace of God that you find working in your life, use it a lot. Use it a lot. Use it a lot. Cast out devils. Prophesy. Encourage people. People, some of you have graces to encourage people and they will be strengthened. If you can do that a lot and a lot, it will get to a time that when people are coming, you know the exact thing to say to them and they will respond. It will get to a time that even somebody is contemplating suicide, they just need to hear your voice and they will stop. And they will stop. You know, over there in the U.S., if you know anybody that wants to kill himself in the U.S., that has made up his mind to die, send him to Lakewood Christian Center. He will not die. That's Pastor Joel Austin. The man has mastered the message of hope. Have you ever listened to Joel Austin in your life? He always started every message with a joke. He said, I'll just start with a joke. I saw that. First time I said, what is wrong with this man? But as I'm trying to complain, I look at the crowd of people gathered there. I said, there's something attracting these guys. And he will preach for 35 minutes. Full Sunday message. It's not like your pastor. You know the problem, the key thing about Joel Austin? Joel Austin said he uses, is it Thursday, Friday, Saturday also to prepare for his message on Sunday. So when I heard that, I said, okay. Which message? Is it this one I just listened to? Because he said he just goes to the office a few days in the week, uses the other days to prepare his sermon on Sunday. I said, wow. Now, the man has mastered, you may like him, you may hate him, but if I tell you people that are alive again because they sat under Joel Austin, you won't believe. You get what I'm saying? Now, it's just something God told him, a revelation God gave him, and he has been saying it for every message Joel Austin preaches, he must connect it back to hope. So you just tell yourself, I'm alive, I can make it, I'm righteous, I'm redeemed, and nothing is wrong with me. And everybody's just happy. God has men in different places. And that's what one warning I want to give you. Not everybody will look like you. Not everybody will look like your tribe. I know what I'm talking about. Not everyone will look like us. But God has different kind of people for different kind of people. That's different men for different audience. Actually. And God actually does. Because some of the people I'm talking to you about today, I don't do like them. Do you understand? I don't do like those people look well. But he's a man of God. And we have to celebrate that. I know what I'm talking about now. He's a man of God. Because you see, the anointing can manifest in different ways. And it's all about different kind of needs. Different kind of needs. Different kind of needs. But whatever grace you find in your life, use it a lot. Not 3 days. Not 3 weeks. For years, grow yourself strong in it. Very, very strongly. Look at Catherine Kuhlman. The lady mastered the healing and the miraculous so much. You know, when you watch Catherine Kuhlman, you know, minister healing, you will be wondering whether this woman is serious. Just say, choir, give me hallelujah. And you see the intensity of the anointing in that place. This has been mastered over time. Use, when you keep flowing in the hand of grace of God upon your life, you are gaining both wisdom, you're even gaining experience. Why is it that when they want to employ you, they will ask you, how long have you been working? How many experience do you have? Because they know that there is doctor and there is doctor. A doctor who just left the university has been taught that when things happen like this, it just means that this is it. And a lady was sharing with me how the mother was trying to help someone deliver. The mother is all these old midwives. And as the baby was coming out, the placenta was tied around his neck. You get the point? Now imagine that just a doctor or nurse has just left university. They say the placenta cannot be on it must be here in the stomach. And this one is tied around the neck. The only thing that will come in handy then is experience.
The lady said she was assisting the mother and she was so scared. He said, don't worry, don't worry, don't worry. You know why? She has seen that case before. It's experience. I get the point. There are certain things, you know, the disciples of Jesus came to Jesus and asked him, why couldn't we cast out this case? Jesus has seen that before. If they had experience like Jesus, because Jesus once prayed for a blind man and asked the man, do you see anything? He said, I see men as trees. Jesus called him back and prayed again. That is just experience to tell you that there are some cases you will minister to once and they will not go entirely. That you have to lay hands a second, sometimes a third time. Simple experience. And that cannot be taught in Bible school. Even as I'm teaching it, you've not learned it until you go and do healing. By the time you heal the sick, you will know. I follow what I'm saying. So you get better with use. Use the grace of God upon your life. Put it to work. You want to get better with utterance. I want to be able to preach like Papa. Go and be preaching to sinners every day. Every day. The more you minister to a sinner, to sinners, you will get better with getting people saved very quickly. You just find out that it's taking a shorter time for you to get people saved. What is happening? It's not as though the anointing is increasing, but you are increasing in that anointing. So, use the anointing a lot. Exercise yourself unto godliness. That's what Paul told Timothy. Use the anointing a lot. It brings expertise. It brings expertise. Are you still here? Are you still here? Glory to God. You know, there's one more thing. One thing I was saying for this thing, but then I just flew. The next thing I'm going to talk about is awareness. I would have said this before I started talking about use, but it's okay. Awareness. Awareness. You must be aware. What I mean is, you must be able to recognize the grace of God working upon your life. You must be able to know what God is doing with you. All of us are anointed. We are all spiritual people. But let me tell you, there is something working in your life. And as you walk with God, you'll be able to know that there are graces working in your life that others may not have that much, but it's working in you. You know why you must recognize it? Because it's when you recognize it that you can begin to flow in it. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me for this. So Jesus even knew what was working in his life. That's why when you see me teach, I say things like, I'm anointed to preach, I'm anointed to teach, I'm anointed to heal. I know it. Now, I know it. I don't brag with it, but I know it. Because it's when you now know it that you begin to walk in it, then others will start knowing it. Are you following me? John the Baptist came out and said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Do you know that thing was a verse from the Old Testament? But somehow the Holy Ghost lighted upon your spirit that this verse is talking about you. You must know it. I get what I'm saying. So you must be aware of the grace of God working upon your life. You must be aware. When we lay hands on you, we'll say things like, there's a healing grace working upon your life. You must be aware. You must recognize that grace. And now God begin to exercise yourself and use it. If you're praying and the Lord tells you, for instance, that I've empowered you for this and that, you must recognize it and know it and begin to work in it. Can I say one more? If you notice that by experience there are certain graces that you find it easier for you to flow in, recognize that thing and begin to do more of it. I agree what I'm talking about. If you notice that there are certain things that are just very easy, begin to do more. As you begin to just recognize that it is there, that's what I'm talking about, awareness. If you know that it is there, you cannot begin to use it anymore. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. He has anointed me to do this. I am here on Yedikachi. I'm sent to do this. I'm sent to do this. I know that there are cases that I'm good, that I can handle. And I know these things. And notice there are some things that I know that I've kept telling you about to the point that you now know it. For instance, I've kept telling you that God has anointed me to minister to people that are sick, people that are deaf, and you already know it. Because I knew it first. How did that happen? God, a man of God laid hands on me, and God, I knew that was the impartation that came. I took note of it, and I took hold of it. You must recognize what is working in your life. Are you following me? Some of them God will tell you. Some of them it will come by impartation. Are you following me? Sometimes it will come by experience.
But you must be able to know what God is doing in your life so that you can release yourself more to it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The hand of God is upon my life. But you must know. You must know. You must know. What is working in your life? What grace has God put upon your life? What is that thing that God has told you that He has empowered you and equipped you with? Begin to use it. When you are aware of it, now begin to put that stuff to use. Glory to God. I'll say two more things, or three, then we'll close. Faithfulness. I just want to see if I can round this up today. Faithfulness. Next thing that helps you increase your anointing is you must be faithful with your assignment. I won't say more than that. You know, the reason why you must be faithful with your assignment is because every phase you are in now, you know, ministry is in phases. Don't forget this, I told you now. Ministry is in phases. Different phases. What I'm doing now is a phase in my calling. I get the point. Every phase you are in requires some sort of special grace for that phase. Special empowerment. When you get into a new phase, special empowerment. Now, every phase you are in today is a preparation for the next phase of your life. How faithful you are in this particular phase will determine whether you will get into the next phase of your calling. And it's when you get to the next phase of your calling that certain graces will gain expression in your life. Now, I'll say it again. If you are in any phase, there's an anointing you are operating with, proportional to the assignments that God has given you for that phase. When the next phase comes, God will stir up another grace for that new phase. But you cannot possibly get into that next phase of your calling if you are not faithful with the previous phase. Because everything you are doing now with God is a preparation for the next phase of your life and your next phase of your calling. And I can show you this in the Bible. There are different phases. Even as a local church, we have different phases. Being at the different phases of my calling. I wasn't doing this all the time. Even in this pastoral journey, there are different phases. There are people that God will say, you know, all you can do, just pastor here. With time, He will say, start spreading. With time, He will say, well, get on mission work. Get to a new. All of these are different phases of the calling. Sometimes it might not even be about spreading. Sometimes it might be about God adding new assignments to them. Phases. So, people's calling may not change, but there are different phases in their call. Do you understand what I'm saying? Where you are now in this, let me even use church for instance. I don't know why God is bringing this very strongly. You see, as you are now, you might just be a member. But if you stay faithful, you cannot remain a member. Faithfulness will make you a worker. If you stay faithful, faithfulness will make you a leader one day. That doesn't mean you begin to fight to become a leader in church. Just faithfulness. And even when you're a leader, faithfulness will give you, because church keeps growing. Even as a pastor, faithfulness. Tomorrow we spread so much. We need someone to manage all the network of churches in Enugu State. It's not a pastor that will pick faithfulness. There are different phases. Tomorrow we say we want to start international missions. God has told us to plant churches in 5 African countries. I want to send 5 missionaries to each of those places. So there are different phases of your calling and your assignment with God. Faithfulness takes you from one level to another. Faithfulness in your assignment means that God can trust you for the next one. That's what it just means. It means He can trust you for the next one. If you're not faithful where God has put your hand, He won't give you the next one. Don't play that card of God loves you. God loves you. He doesn't trust you. And that's not to say that God has trust issues. It just means you're not trustworthy. I get what I'm saying? And let me even say, God will not send you to the next phase of your calling, not just because He doesn't trust you, but because He loves you so much. Yeah, I've explained this many times. Can you possibly send your son that you love so much to Sharia war. Maybe they're having Sharia war in the north. He said, well, because I love him, I'm going to send him there. No military training, nothing. Before you send him, they have to be trained for it. I get the point. Okay, away from military, if you have a company tomorrow, you grow the company, and that this son of yours, every time he comes out from the break, you say, follow me to office so that you see what I'm doing. He doesn't want to follow you. I want you to start, he doesn't want to follow you. And then he goes, we want to hand over the company. Will you hand over the company to that child? You shouldn't. Say, but it's his inheritance. It is. It could be. So what you can just do is, you can just create maybe a part, a money should be going to him every month. But if you want that company to last beyond you, you can't give it to the guy. It's not because you don't love the guy. You love him, but you don't trust him with that assignment. Now, if he's working your company, and then maybe after every day, after every semester, he comes back from school, you tell him, you know, you're going to work in the office this period. I want you to go and work with the admin team. And he goes there, works well. The next time he comes back, working with the IT team this break, he does it well. By the time he's done with school, you want to hand over to him. He has proven faithful. I get the point. Now, there are graces upon your life that will never manifest until the next phase of your calling is revealed. And that next phase of your calling will not come unless you stay very faithful. Now, whether you like what I'm saying or not, life will teach you. I know what I'm saying. Whether you think, is this even true? God can just be, I don't think there are phases. God just is a lie. There are phases. Phases may not be, it may not even be a bigger assignment in our context of big. It may not mean that you're leading 10 people, now you're leading 100 people. It may not always come that way. It might just be God moving you from one place to another. From one department to another. From one assignment to another. So today they ask you to just lead cell. You do it well. They ask you to just lead this one. Do it well. They say, okay, you're not a leader. All of us should be coming to church. Every Saturday, you're just available. Your faithfulness in this phase of your calling will open you up to the next phase. And setting graces. Do you think that Paul got born again immediately and began to, and then the Bible now said, "Separate from me, Paul and Barnabas." No. There were different phases. Paul got born again. Let me use Paul for instance before we move on. Paul got born again in Acts chapter 9. In Acts chapter 9, he got born again. I showed you last week, if you remember. I showed you on Sunday, if you remember. That when he got born again, right, he already knew about his call. Do you remember that? I showed you. God already told him he was going to go to the Gentiles from the first day he got born again. But you notice in Acts chapter 9, and verse 26, Bible said, when Saul was come, because notice, he got born again. In fact, before that, go to verse 20. And straightway, when he says straightway, it means immediately after Ananias ministered unto him. Immediately after he got saved, and he gained his sight, straightway he preached Christ in the wilderness, in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. At this point, there was nothing like separate from Paul and Barnabas. He was just there. What did he start doing immediately? He began to preach immediately. He preached Christ as the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, is not this he that destroyed them which called on his name, on this name in Jerusalem, and came hither that for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests. But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. He was preaching more vehemently. No calling yet. Nothing. He just knew about the call. But he had not stepped into that call. So what was he doing at this point of his ministry? He was just preaching to everybody. Evangelism. Preaching. Is someone following me at all? In verse 23, after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. But their laying await was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket. So they threw Paul down in a basket because persecution was too much. This time, not an apostle, not a prophet, not a pastor. Are you following me? Just a believer doing ministry. But people don't want to be serious until there is a call and they are labeled pastor. Or labeled prophet. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he had said to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him, you know the story, right?
Barnabas took him, okay, to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way and that he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them coming in and going out of Jerusalem, and he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him. So when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him to Tarsus. So you notice, at this point, everywhere he found himself, he was preaching. The opportunity from Damascus, he came to Jerusalem, he kept preaching. Now it was so much again, the disciples said, let's just run away. This was a stage in his ministry. I get the point. But you see the faithfulness in this stage. Now, it wasn't this faithfulness that made God to call Paul. Remember, from the time of his salvation, God already called him. I get what I'm saying? But this faithfulness kept moving him from one phase of his calling to another till he stepped fully into what God has had for him. Between Acts 9 and Acts 13 is over 20 to 30 years actually. Between when Paul got born again to when he went out as a missionary was many years. Over 2 decades. What was he doing all those years? One phase of his calling to another. Kenneth Hagin said that some Christians live and die and they don't even get into the first phase of their calling. When I heard that, I had to rethink. Because some live and die and they don't even get into the first phase of their calling. And some of you are in that first phase where all that God is asking you to do is just to serve in church in one particular place. Tomorrow there could be more. Tomorrow there could be more. There could be more, or maybe not more. There could be different. I get the point. There could be something different. Tomorrow you could be leading a cell. Tomorrow you could be part of an evangelism team. Tomorrow you could be part of the mission team going to Ethiopia to go do something. Tomorrow you could be the people leading the children church, organizing children conferences. Tomorrow we might want to have, but church keeps growing. We say, well, now what have a teen church? Tomorrow we're part of people calling the teen church. There is so much that God wants you to do. But it's in phases. Are you following me? Now, so this is the first. They sent him forth to Tarsus. Acts 11. Acts 11 verse 22. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God was glad and exhorted them, right, that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord, for he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost. You see, Barnabas, I'm coming to Paul again, this was that same Barnabas that they said separate from me, Paul and Barnabas. What was he doing at this point? They were just sending him around the church, go and bring Paul. What was the report about him? He was a good man, full of the Holy Ghost, full of faith. Through him, most people were added to the Lord. At this time, there was no separate unto me Barnabas. It was just a phase in his life. He was doing his thing. In fact, this was the same Barnabas that in Acts chapter 4, he gave so much that they nicknamed him Son of Consolation. Same Barnabas. There are different phases in your walk with God. Are you following me? Whatever place you find, at whatever level you find yourself, do with everything that you can. Because that is the preparation for your next phase. Verse 25. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. They taught much people. No, it wasn't, let me be loose with this, it wasn't an apostle at this point. Do you understand what I'm saying? He just taught much people. The disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. It was the people that Paul raised that first answered the name Christians. And he raised them when he wasn't even called an apostle. Just a phase in his life. Is someone following me this evening? But God was not done with Paul yet. But at this point, he was just doing his thing. Faithfulness will keep changing you from one phase of your calling to another. In Acts chapter 12, And verse 24. But the word of God grew and multiplied. And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry and took with them John, whose surname was Mark. This is where John Mark started following them from. There was no call at this point. But the church, you know what happened in Acts chapter 12? Before Acts chapter 12, the church needed help. They had contributed food to send to people in Jerusalem. So they thought of who to send it to. They said, let's send Paul and Barnabas. And they sent it to them. That's Acts 11 and verse 29. That the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. So, just go and deliver food. Because when the Bible says they sent relief, they sent food, they gathered money and all that, they can deliver. They proved faithful there. Just carry food. They didn't eat the food on the way. Like some delivery people used to eat your meat. They didn't eat the food on the way. They didn't open the treasury box where they packed the money and then took some and put it in their pocket and say, this is what they brought. Faithfulness. So in Acts chapter 12, verse 24, they returned. Verse 25, 24, 25, they returned. Immediately after verse 25 that they returned, the next verse was now Acts chapter 13, verse 1. Now there we are in the church in Antioch. So there was a progression to this point. This was now when they were now praying, and the Holy Ghost now said in verse 2, "Separate unto me Barnabas and Saul." Now that wasn't technically the beginning of Paul's ministry. That was just a new phase in his ministry. Because I've just shown you that he has been doing ministry from Acts chapter 9. Are you following what I'm talking about? It was a new phase. Amen. And I can tell you something. Acts, the book of Acts, didn't record all of Paul's ministry. I can prove that to you, but not today. Paul went on only 3 missionary journeys in the book of Acts. You did CRS, Abby? Did you do CRS? Happy missionary journeys? First missionary journey, second, and third. By the time he was done in Acts 28, Bible said he dwelt in his own rented apartment and was counseling people for like over 2 years. Now that was the end that the book of Acts recorded. But I can tell you that's not where Paul stopped his ministry. Because history will reveal that Paul continued ministry until the point that he was beheaded. They cut off his head. Are you following me? There are different phases that your calling will bring. If you want to see much more grace in operation, stay faithful. Now, what I'm talking about here, and I want to close with this, is not the thing the world is teaching today. See, you know, there is somebody, I serve faithfully in my choir, now I'm all over the world singing. That's what I'm saying. When I mean the Lord is moving from face to face, I'm not talking about making you more popular. That's what I'm saying. Not all of us will be popular. And we should be content with that. Do you know what I'm talking about? Not everybody will be popular. And popularity does not mean that one is bigger in his work with God. Oh, there are unknown apostles who are in very timid countries doing ministry there. That was a phase. That's the phase. And they're just doing it. Not all of us will be popular. All of this, serve the Lord. Stay in prayer. So that one day you'll be like me all over the world. Not everybody will be like me or you. I get what I'm saying. So when I'm talking about God changing your level, changing faces, it's not this one I'm teaching. Say, so, you know, I used to be a Sunday school teacher in my church, but now God has made me a general overseer. So what, and so what if you had remained a Sunday school teacher? If God just moved it from one Sunday school to another Sunday school, that would have still been okay. Let us not think that crowd of fame means ministry growth. In a sense, it doesn't. Not everybody is going to be popular. And you should be okay with that. My aim is not to be popular. I tell you what my aim is. My aim is to thrive in whatever assignment that God has given to me and get the best out of it. Now, I'm a pastor. I'm going to thrive in this pastoral calling to the end. Yeah. Another thing that I should do, fine.
If in the course of the pastoral calling, I become popular, thank God. But that's not the point. I get what I'm saying. I'm not saying you should fight fame. But I'm saying your aim should not be fame. If in the course of doing your assignment for God, you become famous, okay, thank God. But there is a deception of fame in our generation. And it's happening because of social media. That's why, you know, this pains me all the time. I say it all the time. That's why musicians who should be in their church attending discipleship class are all over the world singing because they're popular. And somehow they think they've grown spiritually because they're popular. That's not what I'm talking about. Because I can tell you, you do not need God to be popular. All of you, I can tell you, you can sing. Your own is easy. Get small money, organize small studio in your house. Every day, begin cover. Do cover, sponsor it, add people, just talk. Just for you know, I know what I'm saying. That you join any worship program, attend. Get on everybody, every singer's DM and be saying, I celebrate you, man of God. God is doing mighty things to you. Partner with me now. Let me sing with you. Just do that. Before you know, you just sing. See, you can become popular. But that doesn't change anything. I'm not in the class of men of God who will rate you as something because of your fame. No. There are many famous people who don't have anything to offer. To start with, the most famous people in any community are the mad people in that community. Have you not observed? When we are growing up, there are certain madmen that we know. And if you grew up in Osaka, if I call their name, even you will know them. Even though we didn't have this conversation, mad people are very popular. So, if it's about faith, mad people are quite very popular. And if we begin to rate ministry growth with fame and crowd, it means not many men of God are more anointed than Michael Jackson. Do you know about Michael Jackson? Some of you know you are young. You are just hearing Michael Jackson. Go and read. Go and watch Michael Jackson's concerts. People can lodge for 3 days to enter the concert room. The man was anointed. For whatever he was doing. Guy was something else. I get the point. He was in his own class. No singer today has gotten close to that man. I don't even think in the next 20 years we'll have anybody. Now, it's not noise. Without social media, without Facebook, without TikTok. So if what we are fighting for is fame, then our role model should be Michael Jackson. It's not about fame. So when I'm talking about that the Lord will change your levels, change, I'm not saying that he will make you more popular. That's what I'm saying. Now, if you the change of your own phases bring about popularity, then it's okay. Because it can. But that's not the point. I get to the point. Do you know how many people that served Jesus in the early church, that their names were not written in the book of Acts? But their records are there in heaven. Many of them. Many of them. Read Paul's, read the book of Acts. By the time you'll be seeing we, and we went to some place. Paul traveled with a company. A long team. His entourage was very long. How many people that worked with him? If you want to check whether it is true, go read the final verses of every epistle of Paul. You will see many names there. You keep seeing names you never knew were in the Bible. They are there. These are people that are so. I think it was Andronicus that he said, these ones are well respected among the apostles. The Andronicus. There were two. Andronicus and Junior. It's like people believe that husband and wife. Look for the verse for me. Down. There is no book of Andronicus. Right? I don't know if I pronounced that name well. Hallelujah. I get him blessed. I'm not done with my notes, but I'm just going to leave it here. Because the Lord is just pressing my heart towards this matter. So I'll just leave it there. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be God. Have you seen it? Romans, yes. Glory to God. I said glory to God. Romans 16, not verse 15, go to verse 7. Salute Andronicus and Junior,
my kinsmen, and my fellow prisoners who are of note among the apostles. He said, who are in Christ before me. These guys who have been serving the Lord, say that well notable. Give me another translation. Many translations imply many things with these people. He said, they are highly respected among the apostles. Nobody knew it. People didn't mention them. They don't know them. When I say God will change your face, I'm not saying one day you'll not become as popular as Papa. But there are people that are doing mighty things with God who think that God is not using them enough because they're not popular. I want to deliver you from that. Once you are doing what God has asked you to do at this point in your life and you are faithful, fame or no fame, you are in the right place. In the right place. Don't think that because you are not popular, because your posters are not everywhere. These days, you just need money to be popular. That's all you need. I get the point. I want us to become popular now. I want to become more popular than I am. I know what to do. Not even, I know exactly what to do. I tell you one of the things we can do. All these welfare package that we used to give people in this church that have help, make it public. When I want to give it, I video them. I say, this brother here, at this point, has not eaten for the past 15 days. And I told myself, I cannot be a pastor here and somebody is hungry. So I decided that I must help. This is what the Christianity is all about. This is what the church is asked to do. We have to help people. I cannot be eating and people are crying. And I give him. I post it. I'll sponsor it. If I do it for 6 months, you know, I'm not saying it's bad though. People that are doing it, I'm saying it's an easy way to be popular. Amen. Is there a place for showing your givings like that? Yes, actually. It's not entirely wrong. Especially when you are running the foundation, for instance, and people are sending money from all over the world to support that thing. Every time they give, you must be able to show it so that they will know that you are not eating their money. So that is a place for that. It's motive I'm talking about. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying it's entirely wrong. But I'm saying there are many ways you can become popular without fighting for it. Look at these guys. They were, you know, not now. Bible said they were his fellow Jews. They were also in prison. They also went to prison for Christ. But nobody knew them. They were arrested among the apostles, but nobody knew them. Where were they? They were in Rome. They were in the church in Rome. That's why this thing is because of Romans. They were just in that church, serving the Lord there. And Paul is saying, among the apostles, that's the 12 apostles, these guys are well respected. Now, they were in Christ before Paul. But Paul was writing letters to the church where they belonged to. A lot to say. Oh. I follow what I'm saying. Now, it's not about fighting for fame. Say, Pastor, I like this thing you're teaching about different phases in ministry. Because me, today I'm an usher. Tomorrow, I'll be a prophet. That's what I'm saying. Today I'm an usher. Don't worry. Be looking down on me now. When God changes my level now, and I become an apostle, that I cannot look at that. That's not the point. That's not the point. I learned something. Give me like Amplified Classic of this. I'm closing already. Amplified Classic. They said, remember me to Andronicus and Junius, my tribe and kinsmen. They said, these guys, we are related to Paul in a way. He said, and once my fellow prisoners. So they once shared a cell together. I love the early church. They didn't fly on an airplane together. They shared a cell together. Sorry for another day. There are men held in high esteem among the apostles who also were in Christ before I was. But there are many names like this. Almost the whole of Romans 6 be seen. You see Phoebe, Romans 16 rather. You see all their names listed there. Many of them. Some of them, their names, nobody will know them. So I'm not saying, and notice, these ones, we are not traveling all over the world. They were just in the church in Rome. Not everybody will travel all over the world. So when we are saying you are going to the nations, we are not entirely saying that you are going to fly to UK. Maybe not, sir. I get what I'm saying. The nations you are going to, maybe that I might be teaching children in the children's church. And 17, 27 years after, the kids you taught in children's church are pastoring in South Africa, pastoring in China, and are referring to the work you did in their life. That also is going to the nations. I get the point. Now, what I was just discussing with my wife about
Look at Rhapsody of Realities. Pastor Chris is the one that writes it. But in reality, it's not the only person that pens down those things. There are editors. That material is all over the world. That's the most popular book in the world currently. Translated into every language of the world currently. Rhapsody of Realities. Millions of copies sold every month. There are people sold, not also that are distributed every month. There are people whose lifetime commitment is to sit with Pastor Chris and edit those materials week in, week out. You might never know their names, but that is all God may want them to do. Today, all you are doing is writing posts on Facebook. That's what Dad wants you to be doing for us now. Tomorrow, you might just be the one editing a devotional or a magazine that will be changing us all over the world. That also is going to the nations. All I'm saying is not that God is going to move you, make you more popular, and move you from Nigeria to China or whatever. I'm just saying that faces and responsibilities will change. And how faithful you are with where you are now will determine the next place that you are going to. Stay faithful. Stay faithful. There are graces for your life and for your calling. Stay faithful. And in that faithfulness, you will find graces manifesting in your life. You'll find different anointings. Glory to God. Hallelujah. There are some of you that I'm already seen, and I've seen this many times, but I will not tell you. But some of you have seen the next 5 years, 15 years. Yeah. I've seen what God has asked me to do. And I, you know, anytime God tells me, I know people that already will fill up some positions in the next 5 years, in the next 15 years. I know when our year of spreading will start. I know when our year of international missions will start. I know when all of this will happen. Like this year, I'm already saying it publicly, this year, we are going to try the waters around international missions. Amen. And I say we're starting, we'll just try the waters. Just a few international travels here and there this year. But I know when it's going to come in full blow. And I already know that some of you are going to be the ones that will pioneer a spread wherever God is taking you to. Yeah. But then, and I know some of you may not even pioneer any spread. Some of you might be the ones that will serve as choir leader, ushering cord, cell leader, prayer coordinator in the church in India. Say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Phases of callings. I'll close this way. Kenneth Hagin served the Lord as a brother in church. From there, he served the Lord as a pastor of different local churches. From there, he served the Lord as a traveling evangelist. From there, he served the Lord as a prophet. From there, he began to run Rema Bible School. That's the final thing the Lord asked him to do. He did that until he died. But the Hagin didn't travel so much. You know, I keep saying that to you all the time. He didn't travel. When Kenneth W. Hagin came to Nigeria, that's the son, he came to Lagos, where you saw the people and saw the comments about Brother Hagin's life, he was in tears, literally. He said that his answer was, he said, my father never knew he was this important. So when I'm talking about phase of your calling, it's not a question of moving up the place. How did Kenneth Hagin travel all over the world? His books. Because the Lord told him, start writing books. And that was it. He never came to Nigeria. The Lord will give you understanding. Blessed. The next phase of your calling is on the faithfulness you give here. So use the grace of God upon your life for this level. Be faithful. God has bigger plans for you. And that bigger plan may not be more money or more crowd. It may just be something more He wants you to do for Him. And as you stay faithful, more opportunities for us to serve will come. And as those more opportunities come, the grace of God for that level, for that opportunity, will come for you. Because God will never send you without empowering you. Are you blessed this evening?
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.